Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, lots of opinions, listener calls, which spawn lots of opinions, and the news coming up in a second. First, JB Weld. JB Weld, proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. Epoxy adhesive brand used by pros and experienced DIYers and trusted for over 50 years. Good guys. JBWeld.com, or you can get them at retailers everywhere. Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, wherever. JB Weld. The Adam Carolla Show is going on the road. Next stop, Nashville, Tennessee. Clay Travis is joining me on Friday, and Podcast One's Caitlin Bristow from Off the Vine is going to be joining me as well for a Saturday show. And we're doing a special live stream. If you want to watch the pod and be part of the action, check out livexlive.com and get the Live by Live app. It's all happening this weekend, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. My Houston show had over 1 million views, and I'd be stoked if this one could surpass that number so we can do that with you. So it's going to be a great show. Make sure you tune in this Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Check out livexlive.com or download the Live by Live app.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, author and former New York Times reporter, Alex Berenson. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek is back for good sports. And now, if you need someone to help spell check your protest sign, he is not the guy. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hitting the share button. I just saw the ratings. They went up by a nice chunk last week. Thanks to you guys for sharing that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
The power's back. Transformer, they replaced it. They had to go up and like just replace the whole damn unit. Couldn't fix it because the thing blew into sparks, of course. And we had our power back 24 hours later.
Oh, good, because it's hotter in the hubs of hell out here these days. So you need air. That to me, super important. All right. Let's see. I have some more IMDb outrage.
Oh, no.
I'm obsessed with IMDb and their scoring system. I'm outraged. I have a Leno clip. I had a funny moment. Well, as you guys know, Leno came in here. I did a pre-interview. He wandered in here. Leno always says, it doesn't have to be difficult. It can be easy. It's no big deal. And those words have always rung in my head because there's certain celebrities who are like, you talk to them and they go, you got to talk to my publicist or whatever. And it's like, I don't know. Why can't we just work this out? It's pretty straightforward, you know? And, Leno's always been that way. So I said to Leno about, I had a thought about him not being fear based and, how that works. And I wanted to talk to him about it. He said something, and so I just hit him up last week, like on Friday, like, hey, Jay, why don't you come on the show? I'll do an interview with you. And he hit me back immediately, like, okay, how about next week? And I said, okay, what day? How's Wednesday look? And he said, ooh, Wednesday's not good, but Monday or Tuesday's good. And I said, well, we had a guest opening on Wednesday. Well, I'll just interview you on Monday, and then we'll just slug it into Wednesday's show. And he said, yeah, okay, I'll see you there. And then, you know, he showed up 20 minutes early and hung around. And it's easy. It's very easy with him. But he also said something in the course of the interview that I thought was interesting about these situations where he puts himself into danger all the time. He does a show where he just climbs into race cars and climbs into helicopters. I mean, for those of you who have not seen him roll that Hemi under glass, that CUDA, that was a violent roll. I mean, I don't know. When's the last time you guys have violently rolled over in an automobile? Jay strapped himself into a crazy mobile with a blown,
blown
Hemi, you know, inches behind him. The only way it's called Hemi under glass. The only way that 60s Plymouth Barracuda wheelies is because they took the engine out of the front and they put it in the back. which is the back seat of the car. That's where they get the weight.
It causes it to go up?
And as it goes up, you look through a glass window in the floor so you can see where you're going.
Oh, my God.
And that thing's got, you know, 2,000 horsepower. And there's the guy's driving is 85 years old. It's like an old crazy man who built the thing in, you know, his backyard in 1967. And Jay just hops right in. And this guy starts wheeling this car through, like, you know, parking lot of a Costco. And then they violently roll. And Jay's completely unfazed by the entire situation. I'll just play it for you. Jay's flopping around.
God.
And there it lands on his feet.
That is violent.
Yeah, I'm all right.
You all right? Good. You all right? Good. All right.
How many times do you think that rolled? Like six times?
It probably didn't roll that many times, but it's still a violent rollover.
Oh, very.
And Jay's completely unfazed by it. They said...
I didn't get a great look at the cockpit where they were, but it wasn't like comfort bucket seats. Like, I see like they were wrapped into some metal.
Deathproof.
The paramedic, like, went in. The first thing they did is like put their head in and said to the old guy who's driving, what's your name and what day is it? You know, and the guy said, I'm Bob Jenkins and it's Wednesday, the third. And he went, okay. And then he pointed at Jay and he said, what's your name and what day is it? And he said, I'm Bob Jenkins. He was already making a fucking joke 8 seconds after they just violently rolled over.
Damn.
And then, so I was talking to him about it for a little. I was like, okay, what is that thing? And he said, as we were kind of discussing it globally, he said, I have low self-esteem. And I said, no, I think about this a lot. I think you have no self-esteem. Which low self-esteem, people think like, oh, I think I'm an idiot or I think I'm dumb. Or I think it's like, I have no self-esteem. He doesn't have any thoughts about himself. You know what I mean? High self-esteem gets you panicked during the pandemic. You know what I mean? Right. Low self-esteem is, or no self-esteem is Jay Leno is just walking around. Jay's doing whatever Jay does. Now, he knows he's a kajillionaire and he knows he's a great stand-up, but he still has no self-esteem. He doesn't factor himself in. To shall I get into the helicopter? Shall I get into Hemi under glass? It was an interesting exchange, and it'll be on Wednesday's show. And it's a good hour and 20 minutes. I think you guys will enjoy it. A lot of old stories about the Comedy Store and Letterman and way back in the day. But you forget the guy's 70 years old now. I mean, he's covered some ground. I have the I had a clip that I told Max Bat to kind of whack together. Just a minute and 20 second exchange because, you know, people say all the time, like, oh, those cars or you spend so much money or it's so expensive. Or they'll say something like, you'll say, how much is that car? And you'll go, $1 million. And they'll go, $1 million. Why would you spend like you're talking about spending on something that is not going to go up in value? You know, you wouldn't say that about a house. You know, you'd say $1 million for a house, and you go 5 years from now, maybe it's worth $1.5 million or whatever it is, a real estate investment. But there's one car that I've always loved the story of, and it's the McLaren. Go ahead. You don't have any kids.
No.
You have all these cars. Tons of motorcycles. At some point, your facility is going to have to become a museum.
Not my problem.
But you must have some thoughts about it.
Not really. No, not my problem. I don't know. Whatever happens, happens.
I don't know. It often crosses my mind.
But there's something there you want. Which one is it? Which one is it?
The McLaren F1.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just a car I just took a shining to.
That's the greatest
not for nothing.
Investment I have. People thought I was out of my mind when I bought that car.
What'd you pay for it?
I've been reading about them, and they had been out of production for like 5 years. So I called McLaren. I said, I'm interested. We have one here. It's for sale now. I said, how much is it? He goes, $800,000. And I bought it. So then I get here, and of course, the last offer I got for it was $17.5.
$17.5 million.
Yeah, one went for $20, and then one just sold privately for $24.
And so, which, well, that's why when I stated the one car I wanted, I'll take the McLaren.
Right.
Exactly. What I'm saying. Exactly. So if we could just get a post-it and put my name on it, exactly. Just kind of stick it to the exactly. fender. Yeah. $800,000. Jesus. 24
And people
million.
Thought he was out of his mind.
Well, as I said to him, you know, we edited that around to tighten it up. But in 1998, $800,000 would get you a big house in the hills of Hollywood, a nice big house in the hills of Hollywood. So if you're looking at it through that lens, you want that 4,000 square foot hacienda with the view of the Hollywood sign, or do you want that car? You know what I mean? So yeah, it was a lot. I think I said the show's going to air Wednesday. It'll air on Thursday. The opening to opening was on Wednesday. So look for that on Thursday. Yes.
I like how you called his bluff on. So really, no thoughts about your cars? Nothing? No museum? Okay, I'll take the McLaren.
I was really thinking about it. He has 140,000 square feet now. And many, you know, he has, I don't know, 160 cars or whatever it is. The McLaren's obviously just one of them. But I have thought, you know, it's a 70-year-old guy who does a lot of daredevil-y things, you know. At some point, those cars are going to go somewhere. I don't know if they go to a museum. I don't know if it becomes a museum. And I drilled down with him a little bit on it. I said, no, but really, but seriously, like, you must have had discussions with people about this or something. I mean, it sounds a little uncouth, but he's a good enough guy. I know him real well. Like, I am serious. Like, what shall this be? Do we bequeath it to the city of Burbank and put a statue in front of it and have, you know, underprivileged kids, you know, walk through it? Like, what do we do with your place? And he's like, I don't know. Let's never give any thought.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, well, there you go, everybody. I have my latest IMDb outrage
now,
which is I cannot stand that everything they do is somewhere between a 6.0 and a 7.2. It drives me insane. And I was watching Love Boat last night, my new favorite hobby. I watch it, and then Drew and I, who I've got onto the Love Boat, break down the game film.
Oh, wow.
And it is an insane.
From Love Line to Love Boat.
That's right. It's an insane show to watch and to really look. It was a number one show in the late 78, 79, 80, 81. And that's where we were at as a society. And you can really like look at it and go, that show kind of represents where we were. And it's an insane show because of all the things they do in it. I mean, first and foremost, Dr. Adam Bricker, the show's doctor, is a serial rapist, essentially. He just walks around the ship trying to get chicks drunk and tries to get into their pants. And they, it's open. This isn't B-roll. It's not on the director's cut. Like these are storylines. He's trying to bang single. He works for the ship. Just imagine that in today's.
Yeah. There's no
world.
Clause.
No.
Okay. So, I started thinking about Lauren Twees, or she has this weird name. She was Julie, the cruise director. She was America's darling. She was the sweet, perky, pretty blonde. She was the accessible blonde. You know what I mean? Not the one, you know, you couldn't get, the one you could get that you would never get. And her last name is Tewes. And she had a little heat for a while because Love Boat was so hot that she had some heat. And I was thinking to myself, I recall seeing like a horror movie that she starred in like 1981 in the Westwood Village. And I remember what a schlock fest it was. And it was called Eyes of a Stranger. Perfect 80s thing. It's like she lived and there's some serial killer in the apartment building next to her. And it was just... it was a way to get this actress who had a bunch of heat from being on a number one show and just cram her into this movie. Unclear if she could act or not. 39% with the people at Rotten Tomatoes. It was such a nothing burger that it doesn't even have a Rotten Tomatoes score from the critics. It does have an IMDb score. 6.0.
Whoa!
That Thing You Do is a 6.9. They're both in the sixes.
They're within less than a point of each other.
They're in the sixes. Yeah. Why do you have a system? This schlocky B movie that wasn't even reviewed, and the people that did review it have it under 40%. shares the same first whole number as that thing you do.
Yeah.
What? The only thing I can think of is the IMDb score, like the Richter scale. Like, oh, there's a huge difference between a 5.5 and a 5.7.
Yeah, every 1 point is 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Once you get people to vote on something, especially en masse, like it's all going to end up in that gray to, you know, boring 6.0, like you said, to 7.2. I'm looking at the top 250, the top movies on IMDb. There are four movies and four movies alone that are over 8.9. There are four movies that are 9 or greater.
But we've talked about this before. I don't think it's about the mass of numbers that are voting. It's something to do with their algorithm, because there's plenty of movies on Rotten Tomatoes where you go to the audience score and there's 25,000 votes, mm-hmm. and they still have a high score. That's a different algorithm, but there's something about their rhythm that prevents people. And by the way, if they have 10 people voted, it's still the same. It's still in the same place. Anyway, I got to investigate. I'm going to blow the lid. I'll get Project Veritas on the blower. Get the fucking Yankee hat cam fired up, and somebody make their way into the headquarters of IMDb, and let's figure out what the fuck is going on with the scoring. It's driving me insane. All right, we have questions.
Any guesses as to the top number one movie on IMDb and what the score might be?
It is Gone with the Wind with a 4.7.
Gone with the Wind doesn't even appear in the top 10. I'm gonna have to go down quite a bit to find it. No, not Gone with the Wind.
Okay,
we've all seen it and we love it.
Godfather 9.2.
Godfather is the second film, 9.1. Number one is The Shawshank Redemption.
Wow.
9.2. Wow.
That's the best we can do. That's the universally number one.
No tens. You know what? IMDb may have coined that phrase that every douchey dude did. Remember that douchey frat saying from the 80s and 90s? Like when you'd go, that chick's a 10. They go, no chick's a 10. There are no 10s. I've been with some high nines, but the 10 doesn't exist. It's like a unicorn. I don't know why it was a super douchey, fratty move back in the day. All right. A song. You know I love 90s, 80s, 90s. Something that people wouldn't know about me is I love chick bands. I love rock and chick bands. There's a bunch of go-go songs, deep cuts mainly, that I love. I love all those 90s chick bands.
Avril Lavigne.
I love Avril Lavigne. I loved all that bands like Belly. I love those bands from the 90s.
Feed the Trees.
Used to play on K-Rock. And I got in the car today, and there's a band I completely forgot about. I must have interviewed them on Loveline, but chick rockin' 90s band. Forgot about completely with a song I love, Letters to Cleo. And how much I love this rockin' song. It's going to hit you in a second. They go into a cool, like, rap in this song. Just living on a Sunday morning, got my toast and tea and you know this one, Maxipan?
I don't.
Turn it up then, man. Hey! Don't forget it. I'm done. Gina, you heard this one?
I remember this song.
You remember it?
No.
Brian was around K-Rock after this.
Did this get a lot of spins at K-Rock?
It got a lot of spins at K-Rock.
I've seen that they were on Loveline, but before you were there.
Oh. Well, there you go. All right, turn it up. We'll do one more round. Dawson, you know this one, right?
I do not. Most likely when this came out, I was working nights in classic rock radio.
All right, here it is. don't do this in karaoke if you're drunk. Another butter, another butter, peanut butter.
Another butter.
So I'm the only person right now that knows this song?
This song?
Oh, you know this song.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Dawson,
and we used to do that with the chorus. Because yeah, nobody knows what
to say. I love these guys. I wonder what they're up to. Hey,
I remember them.
Max Pata.
That's great. Uh-huh.
You know, people have been locked up for a long time now.
It's been a long time, yeah.
When they head out?
Yeah.
They're looking to enjoy themselves. Why don't you work this song into your set? I mean, you kind of owe it to them, you know? People want to have fun, finger popping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They've been cooped up.
They want to celebrate a little.
Okay.
They want to have fun. They want to enjoy the night out. They got to buy parking, babysitter. That's $1,700 right there.
It's a lot. Yeah.
You know?
What are they going to eat? Peanut butter and jelly?
Popcorn. Now you're up to, $2,000. I love the grossly overestimated estimation of what the babysitters, what do they charge? What Garagos charges for a billable hour? Like, you got the babysitter? You got
put the parking? Babysitter retainer on retainer.
Concession stand? What are you at? $7,500? I do love that.
Hey, did you like, you had to like Shirley Manson then? Garbage.
Oh, I love Garbage.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
too.
More my speed.
Yeah, I love Garbage. All right, let's see. We got questions. We got calls. Something hadness. Buddies, don't do that. Let's see. Talk to Eric, line 327, Manhattan Beach. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So you're not down in Orange County. You're in Manhattan Beach. What are the
South Bay?
Are the beach rules? You able to? Is the boardwalk open or the walk, the strand?
Well, they put up signs saying you need to be in the water or exercising, but everybody's just laying out. Lifeguards don't want to enforce that, and neither do cops right now. So it's all good, kind of.
But maybe we could just take the signs down. Everyone thought about that, or are we just going to leave those up? All right.
They don't stay up for long. A lot of people are kicking them over and doing as they please. So.
All right. Well, it's been 2 weeks plus since all the street activity, since the large groups have hit the street. So we should know any week now whether there's a spike at the hospital. I'm being facetious. We already know. All right. What's your question,
Eric? I can tell you, my mom's a nurse in Torrance, and we don't have any spikes so far. So.
Well, but we still have a few more waves. I got to wait. The jury's still out. Just wait. Find time. All right. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I was talking with some buddies this weekend and reminiscing about what we used to do, and it was kind of similar to something that you and your buddy Ray might have done. And have you guys ever taken up long-distance shitting in your youth?
Yeah, I've done a little long-distance shitting in my youth. It's important.
Where you get on top of the stall and practice your aim?
Take a dump and call your buddy in New York. And the hand thing to you. Wish you were here.
Yeah, it's been.
Longer, man.
Yeah, look. If it's weird and bizarrely, if it's macabre and sexual and has homoerotic overtones and scatological, we have done it. You don't have to ask us if we've tried it.
So you stand on the toilet seat? Is that what you do?
Now go ahead, Eric. Give us your move.
You kind of adopt in The Exorcist, when the little girl backwards crab walks down the stairs, you kind of get on top of the stall like
you got to go stall wall.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. What you're doing is
wait. This is to be done in a public place.
Well, high school or something like that. Yeah.
So yeah. Brian's outraged.
What public placement did you do it in, Eric?
Not sure what the statute of limitations are, but, you know, grocery store, bathroom.
Oh, that's way out of bounds.
Daycare, elementary school.
Hospice care, synagogues.
Bris.
Funeral.
Animal shelters. Eric, you crossed the line.
I crossed the line?
I don't know.
Adam's outraged.
I got to ask outraged because Olga, my nanny, listens to this podcast and then she hits me with all this shit later on in the kitchen and it's super embarrassing. So anyway, you disgust me.
Yeah.
And we're revolted. Yeah. It's called extruding, by the way, but okay. Appreciate it. Yes. It's been done. If you've thought of it, we did it. I feel like the old school guy telling the new kids, yeah, you know, you guys didn't just invent hand jobs and drive-by shootings. We've been doing that shit since the 60s. Thanks, thanks, Eric.
Hey, I thought of something. I'd like to throw down the gauntlet on if you've thought of it, we've done it. Mm. Oh, this boy. Just popped into my head, and I've watched almost no gay porn lately, so I don't know how this popped into my head. Have you guys ever like hit each other with your penis, like hit the other guy's penis, like with your penis, like sword fight?
No, I mean, I don't think
then you
so.
Don't, then you don't watch SeanCody.com.
There's been a lot of, you know, a guy fall asleep, he get the dick in the air. Or on occasional one of Ray's mom's friends, you know, middle-aged friends, that she spoke on the phone and one ear was occupied, but the other ear was open. She'd get a dick in the ear.
No, yeah, Gina, we haven't intentionally whacked dicks. We're not fucking weirdos. No, Adam, talk about the long-distance shitting again.
Why? Are you recording me? The, yes.
Mike's a cold.
It's basically, look, a lot of people are uptight about sitting on a toilet seat, right? They're uptight about it. So they take the toilet paper and they lay it out and they make this kind of decoupage of pieces of toilet paper so their butt doesn't have to make contact with the public toilet seat. But imagine how safe it would be if you could hover 7 feet above the toilet. That's basically
the ultimate safety. Yeah.
That's the long distance.
Oh, Adam, before
they
you
call
go
it the Howie.
Mm-hmm.
Before I go to the next call, question for you. I'm going on a limb here. I think you like the song "Cruel to Be Kind." You've had me look that up before, right?
Sure, I love that. It's a Nick Lowe song that was written. I think it may have been written by Dave Edmonds or something like that, or maybe it was written by Dave.
It says Nick Lowe and Ian Gom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love what this song.
The reason I bring it up, the last single by Letters to Cleo, the B-side was a cover of Cruel to Be Kind.
Oh.
Oh, well, that's what the internet's for. So, well, maybe we'll find that. What's Letters from Cleo doing? Are they touring? Are they around? Who has a higher... Wait a minute. No. Who has a higher batting average? Now, I've talked in the past about how, I guess, proud I am of the fact that I've been partnered up with Jimmy Kimmel and we're great friends today. And I've been partnered up with Dr. Drew, you know, 25 years plus for both these people, ostensibly right around 25 years. They're still very great, very good friends with both of them. Whereas most comedic morning show teams and comedic, yeah, Gina knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And comedic duos is if they end up, it's bitter. They have to reunite them on a Jerry Lewis telethon at some point, but it's rough. Who hangs better, girl bands or boy bands? You go, well, Aerosmith's been together for a million years, and you go, right. But then there's a lot of girl bands that have been together for a while.
Indigo Girls still standing very strong.
Are they still married?
But that's one lesbian, right?
Right.
So that doesn't count. That's like Ben Folds 5 still going strong. Yeah. But yeah. So you think of the Aerosmiths as a sigh of the world or the Who or something like that. But then you think about, I don't know. You tell me. Go ahead.
I feel like there's many more jumping to my mind, many more examples of U2 and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the aforementioned Aerosmith, who've basically been together more, I mean, maybe a hiccup here and there, or solo project here and there, but basically been together for decades versus, and keep in mind, I don't know if this shits on your point or makes your point, three of the five members of Letters to Cleo are dudes. And they broke up.
Oh, that's why they're good.
They broke up and had a reunion in 2007, I guess.
Well, the other deal is this deal, which is there's far fewer all-girl bands than there are all-male bands. But I think there is a phenomenon with The girl bands, which is probably different than the boy bands, which is, and I don't mean boy bands, I mean male bands, but at some point, Rolling Stone comes a knocking and says, we want to do a cover shoot with the Go-Go's, but we just need Belinda. Uh-huh. And then the other three chicks get pissed off about it, and they start to not like Belinda Carlisle. In boy bands, if they want to just do Roger Daltrey, then John Entwistle goes, fine, I'm going to the pub and having a beer. Like, good, I don't have to put makeup on. I think there's a little more of that, and as long as we're all getting paid, then we'll do it. So women do probably suffer from that a little more. It makes it a little bit harder.
Aside from NSYNC, yeah.
Here's the Letters to Cleo Nick Lowe cover.
Oh.
This is from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, they were in the soundtrack of that Larry Miller movie from 2008? Seven? I don't know. 2000? Can't go wrong with this song.
Oh, I can't take another heartache. Though you say you're my friend, I'm at my wit's end. You say your love is bonafide, but that don't coincide with the things that you do.
It's such a good song. Such a good pop song.
To be nice, you say you gotta be cool to be kind in the right measure. Cool to be kind, it's a very good sign. Cool to be kind means that I love you, baby. You gotta be cool to be kind.
All right, that's a good song. 1999. God, are we getting old? IMDb, somewhere between Eyes of a Stranger and That Thing You Do. Well, I got to find out what that is.
I'm going to peg it about 6.6.
All right. Adam, what do you think?
In the upside down world of IMDb, it could be 7.1. Like, it could be higher than That Thing
higher?
You Do. Let's go 6.5. Sorry, Gina.
6.3.
It is 7.3.
Oh!
Whoa!
Higher than That Thing You Do. All right.
What is this world?
I don't know why they have a scoring system. That's what I'm saying. Why? Okay.
It's not just marginally higher than That Thing You Do. It's significantly higher.
In their world, yes. All right. Wow. Let's see. Scott 50. San Jacinto? Is that how you say that?
Jacinto.
San Jacinto.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good. What's going on?
Not much. Hey, just wondering what your take is on this BLM stuff.
Organizations turn into, they start off as something, which is, hey, we got a problem, we want to fix it. And I always agree with that part of the organization. Eventually, they kind of blow up into something that doesn't resemble the original intention. So I'm sure Black Lives Matters will go there. There's plenty of room to get some stuff done. It's funny how all the politicians are just scared to death at this point of that group, and celebrities and quarterbacks and everybody else in America. So everyone has to sort of genuflect and apologize. I get which way the wind is blowing, and look, if you're Drew Brees, you do need to be scared of Black Lives Matter, because you live in New Orleans, you're the quarterback on a team that, I don't know, if you said, took all the players on the defensive side of the ball of the New Orleans Saints and all the players on the offensive side of the ball of the New Orleans Saints, and you combine that number of 22, well, carve out the kicker and the punter here for this experiment. If you took 22 of those guys, Drew Brees would be one white guy, and then there'd be 4.5 or 5 other white guys, and then there's all the black lives they have to throw the pass to and block for and tackle with and deal with. And if they're all going to be upset, it's going to be very difficult for you to go about your job. You know, it's not Rush Limbaugh. You don't have to just walk into the Excellence in Broadcasting Castle and sit with some like-minded folks and speak your mind into a microphone. You have to go to work with these people. So you must respect and slightly, you must fear and respect this group. I get it. Politicians, they're just going whichever way the wind is blowing, and that's fine. It's not fine for us, but it's fine for their reelection. And that's where we're at. Now, eventually, they start eating their own. You know, you have a very progressive mayor of Minneapolis who's trying to have a dialogue about what changes we could make, and he just gets ran out of the rally. So it's gonna be difficult. If the thing is take no prisoners, all or nothing mentality, it's gonna be tough. On the other hand, I got a email from Adam Schiff today, you know, blanket email.
Right. What's up, Adam?
Yeah. Hey, Adam. Hey, I'm right back at you. And, you know, he had a Black Lives Matter and legislation and a list of things they were looking to get into. And I read the list and I was like, yeah, I agree with either all of or 90% of the stuff they were talking about doing. So as long as they can not jump the shark and become PETA and kind of stay on track, and I would hope that they also start to expand into the record number of shootings they had in Chicago's South Side over the last weekend or whatever, as young black men are dying at the hands of oftentimes other black men, that's part that they can fit them into the tent as well, then I'm down with it. I was listening to, I'll tell you, though, I was listening to Ilhan Omar. And
right.
She was speaking at Black Lives Matter rally or not, but she was speaking in front of a crowd and she's just completely fucking lost it. It's a 30-second clip, Max Pat. We got that there. She sounds like the angriest refugee on the planet. The angriest woman I've ever heard pick up a microphone. She may be angrier than my own mom, but here we go.
I will never co-sign on funding a police department that continues to brutalize us. And I will never stop saying, not only do we need to disinvest in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. The Minneapolis Police Department is rotten to the root. And so when we dismantle it, we get rid of that cancer and we allow for something beautiful to rise. And that reimagining allows us to figure out what public safety looks like for us.
All right. Well, the part that, of course, worries me is we clear all the cops out and wait for something beautiful to rise.
Yeah.
I don't know how I don't know what our batting average is on clearing all authority out and waiting for something beautiful to arise. Something shall arise. The things that rise the fastest. I've seen it. If you drive in Southern California and you go up and down the freeways, they've cleared out all the plants. What arises is scary ass weeds go right to the top. They're first in line. So, let's reshape, retrain, relook at many police, law enforcement communities, clearing them out and waiting for something beautiful to arise. Look, we did a little experiment over the last, and you can find it, Max Zapata, but in Chicago, the cops essentially cleared out momentarily from the bad neighborhoods. They had to be used somewhere else. And I don't know all the math, but they essentially did clear out and made their way over to the other part of town to protect the storefronts or whatever. And they set a record for killings and shootings in the bad neighborhoods of Chicago, a weekend record that, I mean, it's been 25 years since that many people have been shot and killed because the cops moved out of that area and the bad guys did the math on the cops were busy doing other things. And so there's a big surge in killings, which is going to happen when the cops clear out. So you want to clear the cops out, make sure you have somebody to fill the void. Don't just clear them out and wait for something beautiful to arise.
It sounds majestic and poetic, but practically that's not really.
No, the people, us, with our white privilege, rely on the cops much less to protect us where we live than the marginalized people you're talking to rely on the cops to protect them. All right. So, Scott, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Very, very good. And, I've never seen anything
like you said, come up beautiful when you eliminate something.
It'd be nice. But also, all folks in power, Ilhan Omar, including you, I'm all with you on the clear out and dismantle. And first off, not everything is rotten to the root. There's some bad cops. That's not rotten to the root. Not everything is rotten or systemically racist or just rotten. No, there's a couple of rogue bad cops and then a bunch of good cops and men and women of all different ethnicities and backgrounds who are interested in doing their job. Number one. Number two, yes, we'll clear everything out, but I need more detail on what shall rise up on this beautiful awakening. I want you to actually tell me, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have block captains, and each one of those captains will be in charge of their block, and they will be armed with pepper spray and radios or whatever. Just start. Go ahead and give it to me. I'm all ears, but not just clear out and wait for Jack's beanstalk to come up from the ground. Jesus fucking Christ. These people that are governing are starting to scare me. May 31st, 18 homicides, the most in a 24-hour period in those neighborhoods of Chicago. So they've set themselves a 24-hour record, and, that's the cops clearing out. So anyway, deadliest weekend in 28 years. Okay, here we go. See, we got the news a little early. Let me hit my spot here. Yeah, let me hit Method Men. Heard us talking about these guys last week. Got a fresh approach to grooming. Stay clean, stay fresh, stay fuss-free. Now, you know me. I'm not a big soap guy, but they gave me their shower wash. They gave me the salt water and Coastal Breeze, and I used it, man, and it smells good. And the deodorant, which I do use, is fantastic. I got the cedar and cypress, and it's got little hints of cypress and cedar. It doesn't smell like the weird old school, you know, men in super red zone sports dick stuff.
Exactly. It's natural. I don't like smelling like floral things either, so I like smelling like wood, and I smell good with cedar and cypress.
Wood is good, baby. And you save 15%. Use the code. The packaging is great. I know it sounds weird. I mean, packaging. I mean, the containers work. I was using them this morning. Everything is sort of ergonomic, and it's nice. So anyway, save 15%. Use the code Adam when you buy online. Methodmen.com. That's methodmen.com. All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back and do the news with Gina Grad.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
The evil bitch that is coronavirus may still be raging outside, but Corolla Drinks is hard at work with another month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a Beard Bro beard-shaping tool to tame that unruly Corona facial hair, and a Chew face mask so you can silently protest how f***ing stupid all of this is, a 6-foot premium beer bong by beerbong.com, so you can slug back a few cold, endless rants when the world officially opens up again. And of course, a bottle of your choice. We know times are tough, but we at Corolla Drinks are here to remind you to take a breath, have a drink, and wait for all this shit to be over. Mahalo.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, speaking of defunding the police, a couple of things about that. fairly interesting. It may perhaps not what you would expect. Joe Biden's campaign came out Monday against the growing push to defund the police, saying instead that the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee supports the urgent need for reform. The Biden campaign pointed toward the former vice president's criminal justice plan, which proposes an additional $300 million for community policing. And they said the funding would, quote, improve relationships between officers and residents and would provide the training that is needed to avert tragic, unjustifiable deaths.
Smart move. Move on his part to distance himself from the message, because I tweeted about it. They're going to lose, they being the people who want to defund the police, are going to lose people who might otherwise be on board with reforming or retraining or whatever, right, by saying defund. And people will explain, oh no, defund doesn't mean take away all their money. Defund, yeah, you've lost them. You've lost them at defund. Change the message.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I don't know if you saw the clip from Van Jones on CNN, but this message, you're right, instead of just being a bumper sticker that you either get behind or you don't, it seems to be a little more nuanced. And the way he breaks it down, I think, is what the message actually means. This is Van Jones on CNN. I think that they're showing it during the George Floyd memorial. And this is, the question is basically, how do you explain defund? And what's the difference between defund the police and refund the police?
Right now you have police who are being asked to do everything because you stripped out so much social support, so many youth programs, so many social programs have been defunded over the years. Now police officers have to be cops, they have to be counselors, they have to be marriage counselors, coaches. It's too much on them, and their budgets have ballooned. So now just the overtime budget for police officers, sometimes bigger than the social services budget for kids. So what they're saying is, take the money away from police departments that are being asked to do too much and taking up too much money, and put those dollars to better use in communities. If you want safe streets, if you want peaceful neighborhoods, you got to rebalance it.
Yeah. You got to start talking about families at some point, everybody, because we got to figure out where the killers are coming from, and that's from the families. So in terms of defunding and all that, we got to talk about the families. We got to talk about where the homicidal young kids are coming from and how to prevent that. We won't have that honest conversation. I've always been on record as wanting to have that conversation. No one wants to. So there, I'll put myself on record. Now, so there goes the actual honest conversation, which we always talk about, but we never actually have. But I was thinking about cops and defunding them. And then I thought, whenever they talk about school teachers, they go, these school systems, they don't have enough money. These teachers, they have to bring in their own materials. They have to buy their own pencils. They have to get their notebooks for the class. Right. They have to bring all the stuff. They have to buy it and bring their stuff in. And now I was picturing cops suffering from that same thing. And it's like, this guy has to buy his own bullets. He's got to get his own zip ties. He had to hire his own black kid to plant evidence on and then railroad. This is out of control.
This is all unspoken.
Right. All right. What else we got, Gina Grant?
Well, there's a little backlash with Terry Crews, who maybe wished to the cornfield. Not sure. Actor Terry Crews set off a firestorm of criticism on social media a few nights ago after a tweet he intended to be inspiring, he says, backfired. The movie and television star, was addressing the George Floyd protests and tweeted, quote, defeating white supremacy without... Oh, one second.
I can see it.
Okay, I can't.
Defeating white supremacy without white people creates black supremacy. Equality is the truth. Sounds
like it or not. Yeah, we're all in this together. He says.
Sounds okay. Measured to me. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people didn't like it. Some celebrities, the rest of us, not us, but the non celebrities. Fellow actor Orlando Jones tweeted, black supremacy. We represent 13% of U.S. population, hold no institutional power, and gaslight our coworkers. We got 99 problems, and your math isn't the only one.
Wait a minute. That was one. Is that the 7-Up guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's he been up to?
Tweeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crews later explained his tweet, saying, I was not saying black supremacy exists because it doesn't. I'm saying if both black and whites don't continue to work together, bad attitudes and resentments can create a dangerous self-righteousness. That's all.
And I'll kick your skinny ass if you fucking take the Twitter again, bitch. That's how he should end all his shit.
He's, I think it's implied.
He's President Camacho.
Yeah.
He does what he wants.
And the only reason I included this was because we were just speaking about him and he was supposed to be here. Bubba Wallace, I imagine feeling better now. He's calling on NASCAR to take down the Confederate flag, which apparently still up. Did not know that. At racetracks.
Probably. Here's what I would guess with the NASCAR Confederate flag. Probably runs at Talladega and some of those tracks like that, maybe Daytona, Talladega, and stuff like that. When they go do the road race in Sonoma, I'm guessing they don't hoist that thing up the flagpole. I'm guessing, but I don't know. It's probably at a couple of tracks that are in Alabama and that, you know, the South and that sort of stuff. That's what I've guessed. All right. Well, I'm with him. Okay. Take it down.
Not into it. And I like talk about unapologetic. He says, where is it? There's going to be a lot of angry people that carry those flags proudly, but it's time for change. We have to change that. And I encourage NASCAR to have those conversations to remove the flags. And where'd it go? Oh, he says, if you don't agree with him, you can get back on the road where you came from.
Fans are bringing them in and he's asking to stop the fans from bringing them in. Okay. But do they fly at Talladega? Or you can look.
It sounded like fans were going to bring flags, and that's that.
Right. Well, ESPN, the article I got this from, says taking steps to take down Confederate flags at racetracks, which, of course, makes it sound like they're being flown there.
All right. Well, we'll look into it. I swear, if that thing's flying at Sonoma, they do the road course there, I'd be very, very confused. Also, was it MaxPat? Was I talking to Leno about him trying to set the speed record in the Porsche GT at Talladega? Yeah, it's a big track. Sorry. Another story about him not.
And it's
fear.
Both. They're asking fans to stop bringing him in, and it is flying over tracks as well.
But is it in wine country? That's what I want to know. Sorry.
Specifically. Well, while you look that up, Adam, I do have some good news for you and Brian.
Sure.
LA Times reports California counties that have been allowed to accelerate their reopening of their economy, including LA County, could decide to reopen movie theaters as Friday.
Heard about this.
Yeah, this is according to the new state guidelines. The new rules are not going to surprise you. Would limit the number of guests in a movie theater to either 25% of the capacity or 100 attendees, whichever is lower. Theaters also want to implement a reservation system. It's not just for where your seat is. It's for what time you actually enter the theater. So it's staggering people, you know, coming in at different times before the movie. LA, San Diego, Orange, Riverside, these are all counties in California, are among the counties that will be given the option. And the rules would, of course, you have to have a face carving when you're not eating or drinking. Staff has to be available to help usher people before the show begins and at its conclusion. So there'll be some sort of, you know, traffic stop. And the guidelines also suggest ass gaskets, disposable seat covers when you sit down in the theater.
Or you could just extrude. Okay, because I turned on the news last night and there were 50,000 people smashed into one area in Hollywood.
But were they watching a movie?
I don't, I'm not sure, like the whole thing about walking in Hollywood with 50,000 people mashed together or opening the Staples Center and having a concert. My mind is blown. I don't know what the difference is. I can't figure out when we don't start seeing negative results from all the marches, why it doesn't just de facto open everything. I mean, look at we're looking at pictures of drone footage flying over the Black Lives Matter protests in Hollywood Boulevard. You couldn't, you know, stadiums and Staples Centers and movie theaters, they just can't get that many people together if they tried. And if, as long as those people are in fact safe, then anyway, I,
well, I have a a semi answer for that, which is another really big good news, which I would imagine Dr. Barbara Ferrer will call a press conference on this pronto, because the new research is showing that asymptomatic people with COVID-19 really aren't that contagious, because we didn't know. And we were thinking you could be, a super spreader and carry this around, not even know it, and you're getting everyone sick, and that's possible. But the new research is saying it doesn't seem like people with no symptoms are the ones that are spreading it.
Well, thank God 2 weeks ago, Connie Nielsen did 10 minutes on super spreading on the show when I was explaining to her, we're scaring the shit out of the kids. We're scaring them. They should go back to school. She did her diatribe on super spreading, and it's like, oh, God, it's a little,
okay. Well, and we're still in a place where we don't know what we don't know, but that's the latest thinking.
All right, here's at a certain point, this is, I will tell everyone everything they need to know or don't know or how it works. First, let me just hit liquid IV. Easy, healthy solution for dehydration. One stick of liquid IV and 16 ounces of water provides as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. It's proper hydration. It's crucial to your immune system, and this has more vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium as a banana. I always talk to Drew about that. Vitamin C, vitamin B3, 5, and 6, and all the good Bs in there. And they're also donating 2.3 million servings to the response folks of COVID-19. And like I said, those guys are all wrapped up and gloved up and masked up, and they're on their feet and they're sweating their butts off, and they need good hydration. I had one of these this morning, by the way. Just cracked it in a water bottle and shook it up. Good for hangovers or travel or time change, time zones. No artificial flavors or preservatives. Non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy and soy free as well, right, Dawson?
Liquid IV is available nationwide at Target, Whole Foods, and Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Adam at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code Adam at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code Adam.
I was talking to Drew earlier today, and I always used to pass this billboard coming into Loveline, probably circa 1990. Seven, and it was, 53,000 Americans die of secondhand smoke every year. And I always just look at it. And so I used to question Drew on it. And I'd start thinking, though, this isn't scientific, but I'd think, like, have I ever heard about a celebrity dying of secondhand smoke, or a dignitary, mm-hmm. or a politician, or a neighbor, or a family member, or a friend, or someone where's Bob at our 20th high school reunion? Oh, didn't you hear he died of secondhand smoke? And I kept saying it to Drew, and at a certain point, when nobody's ever heard of anyone dying of secondhand smoke, then maybe this isn't a first-hand killer. And for me, there's going to be reports from the WHO and Fauci and Trump and Garcetti, and we're going to get 1,000 different reports. But at a certain point, the only person I know who got it was Bean, passed through him like the flu, and he's fine now. His wife was infected, I guess tested positive for it, was asymptomatic. And it's been 2 weeks of people doing a lot of protesting and weeks of Texas and Florida, and then what about Orange County and the beaches? Every time I talk to somebody, they're like, we're in Orange County, we're wide open, people are at the beaches, people are at the restaurants or whatever. So no matter what reports I hear coming out of Europe or coming out of LA or New York, at a certain point I'm doing the math I did on secondhand smoke, which is, If the beaches have been open in Orange County, if the beaches have been open in Ventura County and Orange County, we're in the middle of those two beaches. We're bookend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're bookend in beaches. The one to the south has been open. The one to the north has been open. I've not heard any scary stories out of any of those places. I've not seen the spike or the hospitals overrun. At a certain point, I'm going to stop looking at data and listening to experts and just looking around and saying, well, the protests are 2.5 weeks old. Let's just open up. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, this might be a good time for you to go to New Zealand. Mm. Very good news over there. There are no known coronavirus cases in New Zealand, COVID-19, for the first time since it arrived in the country on February 28th, according to Axios.com. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced Monday following confirmation of the country's last remaining case had recovered, that all remaining domestic restrictions would be lifted at midnight. The only restriction, which is probably smart, the only one they have, is not letting people into New Zealand. Now that they're 100% clean.
Smart.
The head of the scientific body advising government on COVID-19 said locking down early was crucial to their success. They also ramped up testing early. They said that was very effective. So just their numbers, because, you know, it's obviously a much, much, much smaller place. They had 22 confirmed deaths and about 1,100-ish cases, and about 300,000 people were tested. And no new cases for 17 days.
I don't know if this thing is getting weaker, the virus, or the problem is we all got hit. As I always said, I want the ages of the people. We never heard nursing homes at the beginning. We just heard man over 65 right. in West Covina, woman over 60. We just kept hearing that. So now, obviously, if you hear man over 60 in West Covina, you go, well, Dr. Drew's 61, 62, and Mark Garagos are 61, 60. They're over 60. You're like, oh, wow. But if you heard nursing home patient,
right,
87, it would change your view on sure. on what was coming out. And I don't know if the virus was never as bad as we thought it was, or all the deaths, or a lion's share of the deaths we're hearing about, were coming from nursing homes, from very weak elderly people, and we weren't getting that part of the story, as I was screaming about with my conspiracy theory early on. I think it was the nursing home. I think what we're finding out is so much of this takes place in a nursing home, it doesn't appear to affect people that can healthily march up and down a boulevard, or, you know, take rubber bullets from a policeman's non-lethal shotgun. And I just think that's where we're at. I think you had to be old and compromised to really get hit. And then the problem is it's, you can't have something like this without at some point a healthy 14-year-old boy in the Seattle area being rushed to hospital and convulsing. Like, that's just life. There was the young 14-year-old guy, couldn't feel his feet, and had to go rush to the hospital. It's like, we didn't need to make a meal out of that. That was a snack. That was an outlier. It just wasn't a thing. But there's always going to be that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't invest so heavily in that. Remember, it's hitting kids. Remember, it was starting right. to die down, and then it's like, now it's hitting kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that day, my two 13-year-olds came home, and they were just getting ready to go to Florida, and it was like, no, cancel the tickets. It's now hitting kids. Like, is it now hitting kids, or is it this thing with this 14-year-old with the respiratory thing from the Seattle area? We're not doing a good job of processing news.
Right.
And the news is not helping. Don't expect them to help us. We, in my mind, conducted our own experiment by hitting the streets in mass over the last 2 weeks. And that definitively has brought me most of the information I need to know. If we had not been hit with that, we'd still be talking about, you know, plan phase 4B2. You sunk my battleship of reopening in Los Angeles.
Well, it's funny. We are simultaneously in phase 1 and phase 4, which we're not supposed to technically see for 2 years. And we talked about this on KFI the other night, because we have a doctor that comes on twice a week. And he says, you know, if doctors were to conduct this experiment, it would be the most unethical, inhumane, immoral thing you could do. But we didn't do that. People did it on their own. And we're right. seeing that it's not, you know, the nation isn't falling apart. We'll see.
Hey, Max Batta, New York City, their first night of protests was what date? And once again, I say New York because they were the one that was hit the hardest. So
right.
I picked New York and how consolidated everybody was in their space. You know, they weren't in prairies. Sorry,
was
go
that
ahead.
The 30th? I want to say that's May 30th, but Chris can
Chris will double check. Suss it out.
Also, question for you, and I'm sure you've addressed this before, and not to shit on your point, because I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have a reason. But when you say
safe distance, shitting on points, 6 foot above, 6 foot above the commode.
Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. When we talk about secondhand smoke deaths, we may have talked about this before, but I can't remember. The thing I always think of is nobody technically died from AIDS. They died from a complication because they don't have an immune system now because of something called AIDS. So when we talk about secondhand smoke, like you wouldn't die from that, but since your lungs are all corroded and fucked up, you might have died from emphysema or lung cancer.
Right. No,
whatever.
No coroner put that on a death report.
Yeah, right. So I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
I don't know. I've talked to Drew about it. Drew read me an article from the New England Journal of Medicine many years ago that speculated that as many as 8 people may have died from secondhand smoke. So I guess if you die of lung cancer and then you're not a smoker, but you worked at a honky tonk for 30 years where everyone was smoking around you, then they would probably count that as secondhand smoke. Yeah, I don't think they would put it on a death certificate. They would try to link it to just like X amount of people get lung cancer and don't smoke, and then X amount of people get lung cancer and do smoke, and they do their best statistically to connect, like we did with the COVID-19 thing.
Yeah,
we're trying to get people in covered under the you know, died of secondhand smoke or firsthand smoke. So they probably do a thing where if you died of lung cancer and you didn't smoke, but they found out your husband of 41 years did and you lived in a small apartment.
Let's chalk that up to secondhand smoke.
I think they would do that.
The protests in New York started May 28th, the Thursday, and then really ramped up on that Saturday.
Yeah, the 30th.
Started May 28th on a Thursday. So how many days has this been since the 28th? What's the date today?
About a week and a half. We're almost at 2 weeks, 2 days away.
Oh, okay. That's almost there. Okay. Well, all right. Should have some idea what's going on since 2 weeks is supposed to be the sort of max gestation period. Sorry.
Yeah. Chris, sorry to put you on the spot, but if you wouldn't mind pulling up some of those comments we talked about from the Golden Gate Bridge, I'd love to play this audio for Adam. So I don't know if you've seen this. This was going around very, very viral the last couple of days. The Golden Gate Bridge is sort of singing or kind of humming.
Yeah,
these high winds last Friday produced tones that are the side effect of a handrail retrofit designed to make the span more aerodynamic on gusty days, apparently. And the phenomenon was recorded and posted on social media, with some describing it as angelic, some saying it's eerie and annoying. So we'll play that for you. And I thought, wow, cool, done, retrofitting. Adam will get it and he'll be able to maybe explain it or at least see why it's doing that. But then Chris noticed, after we play it, we can read some of them. Chris noticed that a lot of the comments, which I did not see under the video, are like, bridges are not supposed to make that noise. And I'm a builder, I'm an architect, and that's a bad sign. And it was funny, but now it's scary.
They say like the high volume vibration would lead to metal fatigue and would most likely cause something to fail. So they're really worried about this resonant frequency that's just running throughout the bridge the entire time.
Kaepernick called the wind racist, and I saw that tweet. Go ahead. We'll play it. I love the goddamn Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Creepy.
All right.
But this was supposed to be a fix for wind.
Well, I think it's the Verrazano Bridge that we always show that had the frequency, I don't think. So you guys know.
The one in Washington, right?
Yeah.
Or it's worth waving.
Yeah. That's the resonant frequencies or whatever. You know, if you don't design an airplane the right way, it'll create a frequency that'll shake itself apart. I'm speaking kind of vaguely here about it, but that bridge went full spazoid because of as the wind passed by, it created this frequency that caused it to freak out, which is a really weird. It's called it's not magnetic frequency. Maybe it's magnetic frequency. I can't. It's a name like that. And so when you design a high rise building in Chicago or a bridge that spans a big river or an airplane, I think you have to work that equation into it. Mm. Otherwise, if the frequency gets right, like a kind of like a I don't know, like a sci-fi movie when people go, oh, my ears, or blows something up or something. Like the frequency can do it. What's it called? Resonant. Resonant frequency.
Isn't that what happened in Cuba? In that, not like to the ambassadors, or what was the story? Remember, there was that noise?
But that was created, yes. That story was like the CIA planted something, or the Cuban Fidel planted something to like freak everyone out or drive everyone nuts in their apartment hotel room.
Reverberation based. Yeah.
Yeah. This is that, and that's sort of dog whistle. Oh, remember when the dog whistle was just a dog whistle?
Literally a dog whistle.
A dog whistle. God, do I miss just the notion of the plain old dog whistle, not meaning racism or anything. Just it meant you're trying to communicate with your dog.
Are you thinking about the Tacoma Narrows Bridge?
Yes, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
So that's actually a myth that collapsed because of resonant frequency.
What did collapse for? Just wind?
Moderate winds produced aeroelastic flutter.
Winds created aeroelastic flutter. So like a 10-mile-an-hour wind created a 50-mile-an-hour aeroelastic flutter that blew up this bridge. Bad design, man.
I'd like to get hope it's a lot stronger than that.
I'd like to get the guy. Well, once once this phenomenon happens, no bridge can withstand it. You have to design it so the phenomenon doesn't happen.
Huh.
Of the aeroelastic flutter, you know, I guess.
I need 5 seconds to get a good example of this from one room over. I promise it's worth it.
Okay.
I doubt it. Adam, you ever seen the documentary The Bridge?
Yes, I love it. I mean, it's hard to watch.
It's not fun, but it's super well made. It's really interesting and fascinating, heart-wrenching.
The part about they just put up a camera and basically filmed people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Well, I think one guy lived. But here's the thing that's interesting. In that movie, the one guy who jumped, who obviously lived to talk about it, explained that the second he left the bridge, the second he left the railing, his mind immediately went to, I wish I was back on that bridge.
Yes.
Like immediately, which I thought, oh, that's sad, because you're trying to kill yourself and you get 4 inches from the bridge and you start your fall into the bay and you think, I wish I was back on that bridge. But then I wonder how much of that is chemical.
Like your brain floods with endorphins, that being a survival instinct.
Right. You got a picture, Gina Grant?
Yeah. So, you know, those not color me, like sip and paint or whatever, paint and, you know, the girls like to do, where I don't know if you're even aware of this.
No, I'm not.
Back before pandemics closed everything down, for bachelorette parties and birthday parties, you go to like a paint class together, mm-hmm. and you drink wine and you all paint the same picture. Mm-hmm. So we did this for a girlfriend's bachelorette party. And I don't know who chose this painting, but I went, I'd say pretty full Adam Carolla when I saw this design. Now, I'm not a good painter, and that's not the point. I looked at this bridge and I said, I don't know anything about bridges, but there's nothing structurally sound about what we're painting. And he kind of starts laughing. He's like, oh, yeah, we just like the shapes, but yeah, it wouldn't really stand. I go, well, then why couldn't you pick a bridge that would actually stand?
And
remember, I had like a glass and a half of cheap wine in me.
Nice,
so I'm looking at it and I'm painting it and I'm going, but it doesn't make any sense.
You should add some footings. Cares.
Yeah,
nobody cared but me.
But I mean, look at Picasso. He'd have like the ears and the nose on the same side of the face.
You're right.
None of the greats. It never made any sense. Yeah. Those are the true artists. So
that's Gina's interpretation of a bridge.
That's right.
This is what you do for a living. You couldn't make us paint a bridge that would actually stand up. They weren't interested.
Max Paddle rolled that footage of that bridge freaking out, probably just for shits and giggles. Are you saying which Ridge to Dawson, or you got it?
No, I'm telling. Kaylin's the one that fires off the videos.
So okay. I'll tell him to do it. It's crazy. I'll tell you one quick side thought during all this stuff and craziness and all the stuff we've been talking about. Building into a lot of the craziness of this year, we forget that there was, and we talked about the aliens, you know, the pictures of the alien spaceships and the UFOs, mm-hmm. and there's UFOs darting, and there's cockpit cameras of stuff that's moving in ways that our military has not created a vessel that could move that way, and pilots freaking out. And I don't, you know, I don't know how the universe works, and I don't even really know how my voice gets to your phone exactly. But if my voice is going out into the universe or bouncing off a satellite, making its way into the phone, you can bring it down for a second, Max Pata. Aliens, if you can hear me, if you are going to show yourself, now's the time.
Yeah.
Now's the time. Just land right in the center of Chicago and Minneapolis and LA and New York, and mm-hmm. let's just pull focus for a second. You know what I mean? We'll change the conversation for a moment. We'll get a little bit away from the policing and Kaepernick and Black Lives Matters and Trump and Russian. We'll just for a moment, you'll steal all our focus, and we'll all sort of unite for 1 minute about what the fuck is going on. Now, if you're not planning on showing up at all, absolutely. Stay at home.
Just disregard this message.
But if you're planning on showing yourself, don't wait till December. You know, do it now. That's what I'm saying.
Now's your time.
Mm. All right. Let me hit Geico, and you can show the bridge freaking out just because it's a crazy piece of footage. Everybody's apart these days. Everyone's sharing their dance moves and DIY haircuts and inner lip sync stars. And now Geico's going to share a little with you. Just go to the Geico, by the way. Geico, give back 15% worth of credit on your car and motorcycle policies, current and new customers as well. Because Geico's committed to long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Just visit geico.com/giveback. Yeah, it's crazy footage. It's on the internet. It's on YouTube of this big old bridge just completely spazzing out and then eventually just collapsing. Yeah, I'd like to get the guy who designed that bridge to sit on the same bus stop as the guy who designed the Ford Pinto and go, had a few design problems in my day. Really? Let's talk. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Alex, very, very interesting author that I've been watching for a while, Alex Berenson. Also, Drew was saying, you got to talk to this guy. So we'll talk to him about the truth about COVID-19 and the lockdowns and all that going nuts over there on Amazon. We'll bring him up. We'll take a quick break. Bye, Gina. Bye, Bald. And we'll be right back with Alex right after this.